If many conventional queer histories have concentrated on excavating the queerness of past historical figures, Oscar Wilde, the writer, poet, dramatist, and philosopher who came to Kingston in the early 1880s on his lecture tour of North America, has been one of the figures central to this process. Now claimed by many as a gay icon, Wilde's history actually offers insight into the inadequacy of the tendency to describe the sexual identities of historical figures in contemporary terms. As mentioned in the introduction to this tour, the categories of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, transsexual, and queer are relatively recent constructions. Though Wilde had sexual relationships with men, he would not have described himself as any of these terms. Instead, Wilde's history offers insight into the instability of terms describing sexual difference. Oscar Wilde's connection to Kingston is brief, but nonetheless illuminating. As Kevin O'Brien documents in his book, Oscar Wilde in Canada, An Apostle for the Arts, the lectures which Wilde gave on his tour were meant to propagate the philosophies of aestheticism. Wilde arrived in Kingston on May 22, 1882, and spoke about art decoration before a small audience at the Opera House, now known as the Grand Theatre on Princess Street. A contemporary article in Kingston's British Whig explains that aestheticism could be defined as a struggle for the best, noting that the best and the beautiful are much the same thing. Wilde's lecture, reprinted as an appendix in O'Brien's book, elaborates on this valorization of the beautiful by arguing that household objects should be beautiful as well as useful, and that people should pay attention to the aesthetically pleasing arrangements of their environments. Wilde enacted his own advice by wearing his hair unfashionably long and wearing his velvet breeches and a long cloak at the time when men usually sported trousers and coats. O'Brien notes that the turnout to Wilde's lecture was small since the night's rain kept away the, quote, merely curious, unquote. The Queen's term had already ended and the university students gone, and the lecture competed with the Liberal convention for the nomination of the local candidate of the federal election. Nonetheless, the British Whig received Wilde favorably, and Wilde enjoyed his day of touring the City Hall buildings, visiting Fort Henry, and meeting the Dean of Ontario. Indeed, Wilde was so taken with Kingston that he missed his late afternoon train to Belleville. While Kingstonians seem to appreciate Wilde and find him personable, in other places his appearance and philosophy were subject to much ridicule. His long hair and unusual attire drew fire from the press, and his comments on industrial logging practices, Wilde argued on aesthetic grounds against the pollution caused by sawdust and logs in the St. Lawrence and Ottawa rivers, provoked scorn for him and for the aesthetic movement. Wilde's critics attacked him by attacking his masculinity. A comic piece in a Toronto newspaper mocks Wilde by characterizing him as a young woman, implying that no normal man would behave like this. Aesthetics and beauty, the piece implied, were the concern of naive young girls while real men settled down to the dirty practicalities of business and industry. At this time, charges of effeminacy did not necessarily imply sexual difference, however, and it was not until Wilde's libel trial in England against the Marquess of Queensberry in 1895 that the details of his sexual life became widely known. Although Wilde had numerous sexual relations with boys and men, he was also married to a woman with whom he had two children. He would not have defined himself as gay, homosexual, queer, or bisexual as we understand those terms today. Instead, he used the term Socratic to define his sexuality, a term which invokes classical Greek traditions of male-male relationships. The libel trial and the many witnesses whom the defense had collected in order to prove true Queensberry's characterization of Wilde as a sodomite led to Wilde's arrest for gross indecency under Section 11 of the Criminal Law Amendment Act of 1885. Wilde was convicted and sentenced to 2 years hard labor and maximum sentence for this charge. After his release from prison, Wilde was in disrepute. His works were no longer produced, and Oscar had become a derogatory name for male homosexuals. Wilde lived on the continent until his early death in 1900. Recently, interest in his work has resurged, and he has been claimed by the queer community as an early icon. But what his favorable reception in Kingston should remind us is that the conjunction of effeminacy and homosexuality is a relatively recent stereotype. Although Wilde was mocked at the time for his North America tour as effeminate, these charges did not necessarily imply any suspicions of homosexuality. Furthermore, Wilde's homosexual behavior did not necessarily contradict the sincerity of his feelings for his wife. Although Oscar Wilde is now understood to represent a queer history, contemporary readers must take care not to project contemporary terms and values into his life or the lives of other gay historical figures.